Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, May 6th, 2024. I'm Broadway Video's Matt Tamanini.
And I'm Tell Me on a Sunday podcast, Grace Hockey.
Grace, we both have some traveling in our schedules. One is for me and one is for your mother. I flew back early Sunday morning to wrap up my trip, my final trip of the 2023-2024 Broadway season. And you have your mother in town. So a busy week slash weekend that we just wrapped up for both of us. But lots of good stuff. I will have a travelogue episode recapping everything on my trip because I did not have an opportunity to do one while I was in New York. So that'll be in the Patreon feed. You can head over to patreon.com/BroadwayRadio, broadwayradio.com/Patreon to hear that. I do want to say we are recording, obviously, on Sunday. The Broadway revival of Sweeney Todd will play its final performance tonight on Sunday night over the L'Enfantine Theater. Aaron Tveit and Sutton Foster will close down that show. Again, Grace, we've talked about, like, it's only doing 7 shows a week and it's still selling really well. So it's nice that they were able to go out on a high note and have a nice celebration after its time on Broadway, doing 406 regular performances and 27 previews. Also happening on Sunday night, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in a little bit, is the Lucille Lortel Awards. They don't start until after we record and they go on for a while. So we will have all of the results from that award ceremony, the real first big award ceremony of this award season, on tomorrow's episode. But Grace, in terms of the news, I wanted to start with something. I mean, it's another home run casting from the folks over at Little Shop of Horrors, because on Friday they announced the two new stars that'll be taking over the roles of Seymour and Audrey beginning on May 28th. Taking over as Seymour will be former Dear Evan Hansen star Andrew Barth Feldman, and returning to the musical theater stage after, as far as I know, a couple decades is former Modern Family star Sarah Hyland as Audrey. If you are only familiar with her from TV and other stuff like that, she was in the original Broadway production of Grey Gardens as young Jacqueline Onassis. So getting her back on a musical theater stage in New York is very cool. And what's even cooler about this is that 2 weeks before they join, the show will also have a new Mr. Mushnick, and that will be the always delightful Kevin DeLagula. So again, just doing, I mean, God tier casting over at the West Side Theater, Grace. This is really fantastic, really exciting, and it's just another group of folks that you feel like you need to try to see at some point, because everyone they bring into that show is great.
I literally passed away when I saw that Kevin DeLagula was coming in as Mushnick. Like, on top of all of that, like, what an incredible get. Not only that, but like, maybe Mr. Christian Borle, could you come back as the dentist and star opposite Kevin DeLagula again? Like, can that be a thing?
Oh, right, yes.
You know, but also I will toot my own horn, and I pulled a U, and I commented on the Little Shop of Horrors Instagram, because they posted, the black cutout screen, tease of, you know, someone's headshot. And I called it immediately, and I got like so many likes. That's Andrew Barth Feldman's hairline. I know it is. And I feel like it's a perfect casting. So I'm very happy that I called it. And I do want to say, the last time we talked about this, we mentioned our dear friend, Robbie Rizel. Robbie, how do you feel about this casting? Because
I know
we've discussed it at length that, like, I have defended some himbos, but now you've got your authentic Seymour Krelborn. So
what are you saying? Andrew's not a himbo? You're saying Andrew is not a stud muffin like some of the previous ones are? Is that what you're saying, Grace?
Nerds are stud muffins, and I will die on this hill. But yes, so I think that we've finally gotten somebody that's more aligned with what some of the I'll say it, older generation really, really wants to see in a Seymour Krelborn. So I cannot wait to see this cast. I just have to. I say it every time, but I have to.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because so many of us know Sarah Hyland from Modern Family, like, we forget not only that she has a musical theater background and she's a great singer, but there we do think of her, at least I do, as like a child actor from Modern Family, where she started when she was a teenager and went into her 20s, I'm assuming. But she's about 10 years older than Andrew Barth Feldman. So like, we do have the authentic, you know, I think what is appropriate age dynamic between them. So I think this is very exciting and very cool to see her coming back to the stage opposite those two. And look, if you can get Christian Borle to come back to the show and we can have more Kevin DeLagula videos of him trying to make Christian break off stage, like, let's do it. That seems like a lot of fun. I can't wait. All right, sticking in the replacement casting world, and this is one that is probably also close to your heart as well, if not your day job, the Broadway production of Anne Juliet has announced who will be taking over in the role as William Shakespeare, and it will be the original West End star who originated that role, Oliver Thompson. He will be beginning performances on May 10th, and he will be replacing Austin Scott just temporarily for about 5 weeks. Austin will return on June 18th following a scheduled leave of absence. I think this is really cool because we are kind of seeing in different waves a lot of the stars who have been involved with this show from the very beginning. Obviously, we had Melanie Laberre originate the role of Angelique both over in the UK and here on Broadway. But now we have David Bedella, who is playing Lance. He originated the role over on the other side of the pond. And now we have Oliver coming in. So I think this is great that people who have this history with the show are getting an opportunity to do it on Broadway. And, you know, it's another one of those shows who it seems like they just keep pushing all the right buttons and keep drawing people in and keep going well. I mean, Grace, we've talked about this before. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is now, with Kimberly Akimbo closed, the only show from its season that is still running. And
yeah,
that's not easy these days, you know, as we're seeing,
especially with no Tony already. Wins. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a single Tony win, but you know, a hit's a hit. And yeah, it's very fascinating. Like, I think they always knew like it was going to work. And, you know, they've just continued to turn out this incredible pop machine. And I think that it's very much needed on the street, because I feel that way a lot of about a lot of the, not only like jukebox, but like fun, you know, kind of like great night out shows, because it has to balance a lot of the other pieces that are out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, but yeah, I think it's really exciting. But if you had told me that that would be the only one standing, I don't think I'd be shocked. But yeah, here we are. It's 2024 and we're going to enter the summer. And I'm curious to see the rest of the casting shakedown. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if we'll continue to get the West End stars or if there could be like future stunt casting. Who knows? But they don't really need it, because the show in itself is a stunt, I feel. You know what I mean? Like, you've got the pop engine of the Max Martin song, so that kind of carries that weight already. But I wonder if there's like, in the future, some of those pop bands that it does reference, if any of them will come aboard.
Yeah, I believe I saw this from the actual Anne Juliet account, and you probably know better than I do, so correct me if I'm wrong, but around May 1st with the It's Gonna Be May type thing, they showed a clip of Justin Timberlake and the NSYNC band talking about how he was singing it straight. He was singing It's Gonna Be Me, and Max wanted him to change it because of his accent and how it's kind of was writing pop songs in broken English. But the Anne Juliet account posted it, and it got me thinking, like, at some point, either on stage or perhaps maybe they make a movie out of this, like, there are so many pop stars that are attached to this show just by the songs that they originated, that it would be great to see in a film version Kelly Clarkson play Anne or something, you know, where you've got stuff like that. So I'm excited to see what's next with this. And I had this conversation because of the way that the season broke down and my schedule broke down. I saw a lot of like heavy stuff on this past trip, like Stereophonic, Cabaret, Mother Play, The Great Gatsby, Illinois, Mary Jane, Patriots, Uncle Vanya. And a lot of the people that I went to see shows with, I was talking about how like, there needs to be more fun stuff to balance this stuff out. I did obviously see The Heart of Rock and Roll, which was like, and Oh Mary, like the fun stuff, but like there, it was just a lot of heaviness and not enough funness. So this is definitely one of those shows that brings the enjoyment factor. And obviously people want it and need it, and that's why it's doing so well. All right, one more show and casting thing before we dive into this week's theatrical schedule. The Public Theater has extended Susan Laurie Parks' Sally and Tom for a fourth time. This show was originally supposed to be closed already. It was supposed to close on April 28th. It is now set to run through June 2nd. Who knows at this point if they're going to extend it again? I haven't looked at the Public's summer schedule. Normally, they don't do a ton of stuff over the summer because they have Shakespeare in the Park. Obviously, that's not happening this summer because the Delacorte is getting renovated. So maybe they keep pushing this as long as they can because people are coming to see it. But obviously, any Susan Laurie Parks show is worth checking out. All right, let's get into this week's theatrical schedule. Obviously, no Broadway previews or openings or anything like that happening, although we do have one later this month with Home over from Roundabout. But as I mentioned earlier, the Lucille Lortel Awards will be handed out on Sunday night. We will bring you all of those winners on tomorrow's episode. These are specifically designed to recognize the best in off-Broadway. And I wanted to just remind everybody of the production categories, the show categories of who is nominated. The outstanding play nominees are The Comeuppance, Plays for the Plague Year, Primary Trust, Seriophonic, and Wet Brain. Outstanding musical are Prey, Buena Vista Social Club, Dead Outlaw, Hell's Kitchen, and Teeth. Outstanding revival are Danny and the Deep Blue Sea, I Can Get It For You Wholesale, Philadelphia, Here I Come, Sunset Baby, and Translations. An outstanding solo show, All the Devils Are Here, I Love You So Much I Could Die, Make Me Gorgeous, Sorry for Your Loss, and Triple Threat. As I was going through some of these nominations and looking through the drama desks and the drama leagues and the Outer Critics Circle, it's so interesting to me, Grace, how all of these different organizations that cover off-Broadway categories and awards and seasons, they're pretty disparate. Like, there are obviously some things that show up quite a bit in all of them, Stereophonic, Primary Trust, Dead Outlaw, but they all seem to kind of like hit on different shows more than others. And I think that is just a testament to how incredible the off-Broadway community is in New York. And while we spend so much time talking about Broadway, this is Today on Broadway, it really should, especially in this season when there's so much Broadway stuff, it can drown out the off-Broadway stuff. It really should serve as a reminder that some of, if not all of the best work in New York City is either happening off-Broadway or started off-Broadway. And I hope we don't lose sight of that during this awards season.
I agree with you. I think that we're going to have a nice popular surgeons of the non-Broadway, the off-Broadway accolades and recognition and things like that, because they know that that's how we're sustaining a lot of the on-Broadway stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that I hope that people are not losing sight of that either.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's run through kind of the show's schedules. We're actually going to start over at the Vineyard Theater, but this is not a Vineyard Theater show. This is a rental. This is an outside group coming in, but it is a show that has previously played New York last summer. It is coming back for a return engagement. This one is Invasive Species, and it was written and stars Maya Novi and directed by Michael Breslin. It is also executive produced by Jeremy O. Harris. In the show, Maya will stop at nothing to be in the American movies, even if it means losing her mind. Following the fraught journey of an Argentinian actor as she tests the limits of her American dream, Invasive Species is an outrageous true story about lying to live, living to lie, and how immigrating to the U.S. might just be the role of a lifetime. It is currently scheduled to run at the Vineyard Theater from May 7th, which is Tuesday, through June 30th. Then on Wednesday, I'm going to put this to you here, Grace, because I didn't prep you for this, so I'll be interested to hear. On Wednesday, we find out the winner and finalist for the 2024 Pulitzer Prize for Drama. This, of course, goes specifically to an American playwright and ideally is supposed to focus on American life. The show is supposed to represent some portion of life in America. Do you have any shows off the top of your head that you think might be in contention for this, either win or finalist or something like that?
Oh gosh, what a great question. Oh, Mary. No, I don't know. you know, I just like, would Stereophonic help? Like, would that be? I don't know. But like when I think of it immediately, my brain went to Fat Ham, but that was last year. You know, I think.
What about Wet Brain? I know you love that one. I don't know if that really fits or not.
I think it could. I think it really could. It was so strong. It was such an interesting piece. Yeah, I guess I think I could get behind that 100%. What about you?
I don't know. I mean, you see a lot more of the off-Broadway stuff than I do, unfortunately, and that certainly feels like it. I would think like something like the comeuppance or plays for the plague year from mm-hmm. people who have been recognized by the Pulitzers in some form or fashion in the past could happen. But I'm interested to see what it is. What it sounded like you had another thought.
Well, it would not really fit the prompt, but like job is a very like, here's the world that we're in now kind of context. Like I think of that kind of immediately.
Yeah.
I also wonder if things like Just For Us would match that brief as well. So who knows?
Yeah, I wonder if that would be eligible this season or not, because it's been, I mean, how long ago did we see it at the Cherry Lane? Like that feels like that must have been almost two years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's eligible, but I mean, there's certainly a ton of interesting stuff and we will find out on Wednesday. All right. Some of the other things that are happening this week over at the Minetta Lane Theater on Thursday, we are getting the return engagement of Laura Benanti, Nobody Cares. We will talk more about Laura Benanti here in a minute. This is scheduled to run just for 18 performances, May 9th through June 2nd. This is her solo-ish show where she is telling stories, sharing things about her life, and singing original music by her music director, Todd Almond. I think she also collaborated with Todd to write that music, so that is very exciting. Then on Sunday, we have the off-Broadway opening of the new play, Just Another Day. This was written by Dan Loria, star of stage and screen. He also stars in it opposite Patty McCormack. And this is playing at Theater 555. And interestingly enough, as I was having dinner last week, I saw Dan and Patty walk out of a building. I don't know if they were walking out of their rehearsal studio or not, but it was kind of cool to see them just walk down the street. This is a play in which a comedy writer and a sophisticated poet in their 70s meet daily on a park bench to exchange wits and barbs and wax nostalgic about old movies, all the while trying to figure out how they know and love each other, at least for that day. And then also on Sunday, May 12th, we have two shows closing. The first one you mentioned, Oh Mary, over at the Lucio Lortel Theater. Of course, that one is getting ready to come to Broadway, which is very, very exciting. I saw it again for the second time this weekend. It holds up. Even if you kind of know what's happening, it is still very, very funny. So I'm super excited to see how this one does on Broadway. Then the other one is over at the Signature Theater. It is Sarah Rules Orlando. If you want more information about any of these shows, please check out the show notes. Grace, over the weekend, I know, as we're getting into our feel-good recommendations, I know you went back to Limpika. You took your mom. One of the recommendations that I have for you is a clip from the show in which Amber Amon sings the song Stay. And obviously, Amber is one of the two Tony nominees from this show, and the show is going to be closing here in just a couple weeks. So get over there. Get over to the Long Acre Theater and check this show out before it goes. I know you love it, Grace. You've talked about it here already. So if people are on the fence about wanting to see it because, oh, it's closing, it didn't get a ton of nominations, what can you tell them to encourage them to go over and check out this one before it wraps up?
You know, it's so funny that like there was an article about, you know, things to take your mother to, mm-hmm. like Mother's Day picks, and Limpika was not on that most lists. And I took my mom, and it was so funny that like what got her was when Beth Lovell sings closer to the end. And I'm not spoiling anything, but she does sing something and she says like, I just want to be remembered. And like, it's so beautiful and impactful and like what a mother can give up for her family and what people can do for art and for their livelihood and what they do to survive is like such a through line in the piece. I really recommend it. I really recommend if you're able to take your mother, and if you're not able to take your mother, but you have feelings, you know, about your mom connection, like also go see it. But it's such a beautiful show. And yeah, I'd see it 100 more times. What a gift. It's great. And I didn't expect it out of the four shows that I took her to be the one that really struck her, because she normally likes a lot of fun can fluff. Still never taken her to Moulin Rouge, which is funny, but it was just fabulous. And what a beautiful piece. So please run to that theater, the Long Acre, to see it before it goes.
Awesome. And the last feel-good recommendation I have, it's actually two feel-good recommendations wrapped into one. It is the aforementioned Laura Benanti back with her. I mean, gosh, it feels like this has been going on for a decade. I don't know if it has, but to promote her show, Nobody Cares, at the Audible Theater, or at the Minetta Lane Theater from Audible Theater. She is recapping the Broadway season. It's in two parts. There might be a third one or a fourth one. I don't know. They haven't come out yet. Where she just gives you a synopsis of every show just based on the title. Some of them, I am pretty sure she has no idea what they're about. Some of them she clearly does and is playing it, but these are always super funny. My favorite one, Grace, have you seen these yet?
Yes.
Okay. My favorite one is the Back to the Future one. I'm just going to throw that one out. There's some good ones in there, so check those out. And we'll have both of the links to those videos in the show notes. All right, everybody, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio, and you can follow me on Instagram at BWWMatt. Grace, where can people find you?
You can find me at It's Grace Hockey.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful Monday, a wonderful week, and we'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.